The last few weeks, we've been traveling along with Abraham as he goes about from place to place. We started in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and we've been following Abraham along a number of weeks now, seeing what he's been up to and what God has been doing in his life and through his life. And this morning, we're going to pick up the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 14, beginning at verse 18. And just to remind you where we are in the story, Abram had just returned from rescuing his nephew Lot and all of Lot's family and extended family and all the other people that were taken captives by these warring tribes that had fought one another. And Lot and all of his people and all the possessions that had been taken had been rescued. Abram and his, 318 men, trained men, had gone out and saved the day. That's where we left off last week. Well, this week we continue with what happens right after that. Genesis chapter 14, beginning at verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I have made Abraham rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." What an interesting character this Abraham is. Right after Abraham's victory in battle, he gets a visitor. It's Melchizedek, one of the Canaanite kings. And we don't know much about Melchizedek. Very little is said about him. It's here and a little bit in Hebrews. We know that he was the king of Salem, which later becomes Jerusalem. It's short for Jerusalem. We know that he served as priest, which was not all that uncommon for the priest to be king as well. And although Melchizedek was not directly involved in the battles that Abraham was in, it wasn't Melchizedek's war, for whatever reason, after Abraham returned from his battles, Melchizedek comes along and shares bread and wine with Abraham. Perhaps it was Abraham's faith. Perhaps it was his battle skills. I don't know, maybe Melchizedek wanted to be on good terms with Abraham, or he was simply interested in the God that Abraham worshipped. But for whatever reason, Melchizedek comes, and after the customary refreshments of bread and wine, he pronounces a blessing on Abraham. It's wonderful when somebody surprises you with a blessing. "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hands." And so Melchizedek blesses Abraham. And Abraham's response after Melchizedek blessed him was to give him a tenth of everything, or what we would call a tithe, a tenth. And the obvious question becomes, why? Why would Abraham give 10% of everything to Melchizedek? There were some who suggested Abraham did this because, well, Melchizedek was the priest. And that's entirely possible and probably very likely. Maybe it was the fact that Abraham was compelled to give, in recognition of God's faithfulness, God's blessing. God had provided. God had given him victory. And, and it was kind of like a thank offering. Melchizedek might have been the first priest he had seen, and so he wanted to express his thanks to God, and so he gave to Melchizedek 10%, a tithe of everything that he had. And naturally, Abraham had a lot to be thankful for. God had provided for him again and again when Abraham didn't deserve it, that's for sure. God had given him victory over his enemies. God had brought him back with the spoils of war. It very well could be Abraham's way of saying, thank you. Thank you, God. No questions asked. He didn't ask Melchizedek, now what are you going to do with it? Can I see your budget for the next year? He just gave it to him. Just like that. And no sooner did Abraham give away one-tenth of what he had, a second king comes to him. The second king comes on the scene right after the first one, and it's the king of Sodom. Now, of course, we remember Sodom. It was not a nice place. We had learned previously that the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly. You didn't really want to have much to do with that place if you were wise. It was kind of like, stay away from there, boys. Well, the king of Sodom is grateful to Abraham. Not only did Abraham rescue Lot, he rescued a whole lot of other people as well. And so the king of Sodom makes an offer to Abraham. He says, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. Take it all. All the possessions, everything you brought back, all the spoils of war. You know, you can keep it. And that sounds really generous, actually. And it kind of makes sense because, you know, to the victor goes the spoils of war type of mentality. What an opportunity there was for Abraham right there. Think about it. Everything is there before him. All the loot. I don't know how much there was exactly, but certainly there would have been enough for Abraham to sit back and relax and live comfortably the rest of his days. And so what does Abraham do? He basically says, no thanks. You can keep the spoils of war to yourself. I'm not taking anything from you. I don't want anyone to think that you made me rich. So he wants to have nothing to do with it. None of it. Doesn't want any of it. And you think about this. Abraham, what a strange man he is turning out to be. Previously, he had given his nephew Lot the first choice of which land to take, remember? And Lot chose this beautiful land that was fertile and lush. And then he gives 10% of everything to this priest that shows up and says a blessing upon him. And for that, he gets like 10% of everything. He gives it away just like that. And now he refuses to accept all the spoils of war which were rightfully his. I will accept nothing from you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me. And what's interesting here is the fact that even though it was Abraham who led the charge and led the recovery and went into battle and returned all the possessions, Abraham still recognizes that everything he brought back doesn't actually belong to him. He realizes deep down that it was never his in the first place. And I think that's a great attitude for us to have. That when there's something in our hands, in our grasp, when somebody attaches our name to something, that in our heart and in our mind and deep down, we need to understand that even though the world says it's mine, it's not really mine. I'm okay to do without it. Abraham understands that the key to generosity is not holding a tight grip on things. And so he refuses to take his share in the spoils of war And he wants it to be clear that whatever he has, it comes because of God and that God has provided for him. And after all that is said and done, the very first verse of the next chapter, God responds to Abraham, and it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward.'" In other words, God is reminding Abraham that he has much better plans for Abraham than whatever it was that he was willing to give away. And when I read this passage from Genesis chapter 14 and the generosity, the willingness of Abraham to give, it occurred to me that there are some important principles in there for us. And that there is an important connection between our spiritual lives and how we hold on to treasures. And I just want to take a few moments to just speak to these important principles that we can apply and look at today. And the first one is very obviously that generosity is a good thing. And I know that's a broad statement and can be applied in many different ways. Certainly there is the importance of generosity with people in need, as we've looked at and talked about previously. There are tons of scripture that talk about being generous, giving our resources, our time, our support. But beyond that, we need to be generous in our giving to God. Abraham was blessed, and when he met the priest, he was quick to give. I believe it's fair to say that for Abraham, generosity was not an event, but it was a lifestyle. And for us, generosity needs to be the same thing. Quite often we think of generosity as an event. You know, I pull out my checkbook, I write a check, and it's an event. And we chalk it up, we've done that, carry on. But true generosity is more than that. It's a lifestyle. It's a looking to see how we can be a blessing to others lifestyle. And it's something that God blesses, God delights in. And so, yes, we do give. We do give to God through the church. We give a tithe of our earnings to God. But we also give. We give generously to other needs, other ministries. We don't do it with a cold calculating, "I've done it, check it off, I'm free now." We do it with joy, with gladness. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about our congregation. Our people are generous. Our people are giving. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of life. Generosity needs to be a lifestyle. And the other principle, the second principle, is that in order for generosity to be a lifestyle, we need to be careful we don't get so attached to things that we can't do without them. We need to ask ourselves, am I getting attached to something? That's what happened with Abraham, I think, with his encounter with the king of Sodom. Here's Abraham, and he's got more than enough. He's got it all. And he gives it away. Perhaps he gave it away because, you know, Sodom was a wicked city, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it, which is entirely true. But I also can't help but wonder if Abraham didn't give things away simply because he didn't want to get attached to it. The longer we have something, the more attached we become to it. The more that we have, the more that we want, and the more it takes to keep us satisfied. And one of the best remedies to not get attached to things is to give it away, to hold on to things loosely, to be generous. Generosity as a lifestyle, not holding tight to what is in our hands, but giving freely as we have opportunity. And the reason why we can do all of that is because our trust, our hope is in the Lord. We need to understand, fully understand. We need to believe that everything that is in our hands comes from God and ultimately belongs to God. He owns it all. It is His. And so Abraham, when he gives back the spoils of war, he's not only making sure he hasn't put his trust in his possessions, he's showing his trust in God, that God will provide, that God will bless. And sure enough, that's what we see God's response to him. When Abraham is essentially saying, I trust God, God will look after me, God's response is, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Generosity, not just an event, but a lifestyle. Holding loosely to things, giving generously, trusting and knowing that it comes from God and belongs to God. And finally, generosity must be something we have to put into practice and not just think about it. It's one of those things that's easy to think about. Oh yeah, I agree. We should be. Yep, it's a good idea. But it becomes difficult at times. One Sunday school teacher asked his 8 eager 10-year-old students, would they give $1 million to the missionaries if they had it? Oh, yes, they all agreed. They would certainly give $1 million away. They were unanimous. So the Sunday school teacher asked, would you give $10,000? And again, all 8 students, 10-year-olds, they said, yes, we'd give $10,000. Well, the teacher said, what about $100? Would you give $100? Again, the boys said very clearly that they had no problem giving $100. Finally, the teacher asked if they would give $5. Most of the boys said, yes, they would give $5, but one of the boys held back. The teacher asked that one why he wasn't enthusiastic about giving $5. The young boy put his hand in his pocket and he said, well, teacher, the truth is I actually do have $5. You see, it's easy to say yes to giving what we don't have, but it's altogether different to say yes to giving what you actually do have. And this morning, I'd like us to just to think about, what do we have? What do we have? And I'm not just talking dollars and cents. What do we have? What skills do we have? What time do we have? What care do we have? What resources do we have? And how could we make generosity more of a lifestyle in our lives? And so the question I want to leave with you this morning is something just to think about. In what ways can you be generous towards God? And in what ways can you be generous towards others? And ask yourself those questions, and surely God will show you the answer. He will lead you. It's important for us to hold on to things loosely. Things can change in a hurry, but a generous lifestyle is something that can carry us through and be a blessing for all eternity. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before you this day, and And Lord, I'm just reminded again how you have blessed and you have provided. And the truth be told, everything that the world says belongs to me comes from you and really belongs to you. And I pray, Father God, that you would help every one of us continue to develop a spirit of generosity, to see that generosity is not just an event, but it's a way of living. And I thank you, Lord God, for that blessing that is seen so many times around us here already. Thank you, Father, for the faithfulness of your people, for their giving heart, giving financially, giving their time, giving their support, giving their skills, being a blessing, giving their ears to someone else. And Lord, as you lead us, may we continue to be a people who are living generosity as a lifestyle. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.